And welcome to another episode of the Rev VR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. I know it's been a few weeks. I apologize. I was out at SVVR Expo 2017, which was wonderful, amazing, exciting experience. Thanks to everybody who made that happen. And then VRLA happened, but unfortunately, I was not able to make it to that for many, many different reasons. But I heard it was an amazing show. So congratulations to the VRLA group, Cosmo and Johnny and Adam and John and all of you wonderful people out there making LA a VR safe haven. Even bringing Hollywood into it all and all that. We've got lots to talk about in this episode. And, you know, I kind of feel like I get lonely sometimes. I like to have somebody to talk to. And since we're not doing this interview kind of format for this episode, I'm just bringing in somebody to talk to, just somebody to hang out with, somebody to chat with. A very good old friend of mine, not old like he's old, but like he's been my friend for a long time. You guys understand. He was actually at SVVR with me. So those of you who are part of the regular posse that hangs out at the show, you all got a chance to meet him. And so I have Jeff with me today. Jeff, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing great. Awesome. Glad to be a part of it. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Yes. You know, it's a long time coming. For those of you who don't know, Jeff and I are from the same wonderful kind of city of Cincinnati, Ohio. Jeff is still out there working in the tech world, and he has been, as in his own words, bitten by the VR bug. You know, Jeff, you've been following it from the beginning, though. Isn't that true?
I have. Back in the DK1 days, you got me interested in it, and you know, you offered to let me be a part of your podcast back then, but I wasn't really bitten by the true like podcast bug or the scene bug until SVVR. Being out there with everybody and being part of the scene just kind of got to me and really wanted me to make a better effort to be part of the whole scene. So
yeah,
we are.
It happens. You know, I remember my first time, I mean, at a VR event, of course, you know, having the opportunity.
Your first time was at a VR event?
We're not going to go into that. No. So, yeah, the first time going to a VR event, whether it's a local meetup or, you know, a hackathon or one of the big expos out on the West Coast, or, you know, some of the bigger things that are happening. I mean, the East Coast is starting to get its own thing too. A lot of stuff happening in Boston, New York, Philly, Atlanta is really big in the VR scene. So, shout out to the Atlanta VR people out there. You guys are doing some amazing stuff. Some good friends out there, and I really think that Atlanta is a booming area for VR. But, you know, nothing is quite the same as going out to California, to flying into Silicon Valley or Los Angeles, and getting off the plane and going to one of these big convention centers and just witnessing the awe and the majesty of an entire floor full of booths set up for VR. I mean, Jeff, it being your first time, you know, what was your reaction the first time you walked through those big doors, the security guys let you in, and you were able to see the wonderment of the floor?
You know, the floor was exactly what I expected it to be. It was just row after row of great demos and great people to talk to. More than the tech demos that stuck out, it's more the community out there that is what draws me in. Everybody out there you can approach, talk to, and it's very welcoming. There's nobody that is not approachable out there.
Yeah, yeah. It is a good group of people, men, women, everybody. Just, you know, there's not a single person. I think you hit the nail on the head. I remember you saying that, too, after the first day at SVVR 2017. You're like, wow, everybody is amazing. Everybody's approachable. And, you know, I think it does speak volumes about the VR community and how everybody gets together. And, you know, it's that like-mindedness. It's that, you know, because you can't find that in, like, places like in the Midwest and Cincinnati. I mean, what happens when you talk about VR when you're in the Midwest?
People's eyes glaze over.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they're like, really? VR has been around. It failed. What's different?
And, you know, it's your job, Jeff, now to educate them and say, hey, this is what's different. We actually have viable products, you know, even beyond viable. It's fun, exciting, and a wonderful, amazing thing. You know, we had a lot of really cool things happen this week that I want to talk about. And you know, I know you've been watching from the sidelines there in Cincinnati and you know, putting in your two cents when you can. It's nice to see you on Twitter, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around on Twitter for quite a long time, but my first tweet really only came maybe 6 months ago. But anybody that wants to reach out to me, please feel free. Redus J on Twitter, REDUSJ. Glad to connect and communicate and talk about anything anybody wants to. So
for some reason, and I don't know what it is, because I was kind of like you, Jeff. Originally, I'm like, Twitter's Twitter. Okay, another social media platform. I'll use it to read news and keep up on this, that, and the other. But really, I didn't do a whole lot on Twitter until VR took off. Because as soon as VR took off, everybody went and used Twitter. And I wasn't ready for it. And you obviously weren't ready. Yeah, but Twitter has become a method of conversation and communication for the VR community and the AR community and every, you know, MR and XR, whatever you want to call it. You know, let me ask you this, Jeff. AR, VR, MR, are you okay with calling all of it XR? Like just X being that like generic variable?
Sure, why not? I mean, right now we're at a state where VR is really the mainstream, but it's all going to converge at one point or another.
Yeah. You know, everybody's just got a different term, and it's just starting to kind of get confusing. You know, especially Microsoft. They're like, Microsoft has an augmented reality headset called the HoloLens, but they call it mixed reality. And then Intel has merged reality. I don't know. I don't really. Sure. I don't care. XR is fine.
XR is fine.
XR is fine. Okay. So, all sorts of fun news this week. I guess I would be remiss if I didn't start with, well, Jeff, did you know that I'm slightly overweight?
You know, so am I.
I kind of got that sense that, that I, you and I have this affliction. not really sure how to say it. It's just
I can't imagine that there is a shortage of fat people in the VR community.
Well, you know, it's funny. I had in previous podcasts, I've said, okay, so if you're going to be at this next show, look for me. I'm the fat guy with the beard, the ponytail, and the fedora. Hey, embrace the stereotype. That's what I say.
You know? Exactly.
If you're going to be that guy, be that guy. Be who you want to be. Not to put any type of, you know, I'm not condoning, overweight, and I'm not condoning people with, you know, any level of, you know, bad habits, I guess is the way to say it.
You know what? Skinny, fat, welcome to VR.
Yeah, right, okay, sure. Yeah. Right.
Either, you know, either way.
You know, I accept everybody for who they are and who they want to be, and I don't really care. You know, I don't
exactly.
I mean, I have met so many, such a wide variety of people in the VR community that I mean, I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is. Everybody can be different, right?
Right. So that brings us to Facebook Spaces.
Yeah. So I went home and downloaded it right away. Did you?
I did. Yeah. I went in, created my avatar, and lo and behold, I had to be skinny.
You had to be skinny.
I had to be skinny.
You didn't have a choice.
No.
Well,
what's up with that?
What? You had to be, you know, I went
in. I had to be skinny.
I did the same thing, Jeff. You know, I went in and I customized the hell out of my, you know, there were like 30 options for your eye shape alone. Okay. Right. Eyebrows, nose, chin,
facial hair,
mouth, your regular hair. I mean, wow. Well, first of all, did it do what you, here's what mine did. It took like 8 pictures and said, okay, based on these 8 pictures, this is what we kind of think you look like in your avatar.
Yeah, mine did the same thing.
Were you happy with that at all?
Not really. Yeah, I went ahead and just overrode it and customized everything anyway.
I found a good base.
I think it's important to mention that this is beta, so hopefully we'll be seeing improvements down the road.
Well, what we're going to do here, folks, is if you're not already familiar with it, on my website, revvrstudios.com, I posted a blog post, an article immediately following my attempt to make an avatar look like me. And I made a big stink out of the fact that it wouldn't let me be fat. And, the title and the intention of the article was a little tongue-in-cheek, and I think a lot of people took it literally, which is okay because, sarcasm is a hard thing to convey. And I don't want to say sarcasm, but it wasn't that I was being sarcastic. It's just I was trying to make a point of saying, wow, you guys let me customize my nose. You let me customize something that even the Nintendo Wii, the Mii... I know they gave you options for noses and stuff with the Nintendo Wii, but I felt like they were really good. They did a good job of letting me customize my head in Facebook Spaces. And then it just whoosh, stopped. Like I couldn't do anything else with my body, my arms, my hands. All I could do was change my shirt, which I was stuck wearing an F8 2017 t-shirt. I mean... I could customize the shape and color and size of my glasses, but I couldn't change my body size. So
you got a lot of crap over that.
I did. But, why? Why were people upset about it? That's what I want to know.
That's a great question. Would they have been ass upset if you could only choose to be fat? So if there were no skinny option, everybody's avatar had to be fat. Would there be such an outrage? Would there be a more outrage?
So you go in there, you get your head, you customize the heck out of your head, and the body is it's morbidly obese. It's huge. Absolutely. Everybody looks like a snowman.
Sure, why not?
Would people be mad about that?
I think there would be absolutely more outrage.
But why?
It's the societal norm.
Okay. So we're getting into this like socio-political hoo-ha of everybody wants to be the societal norm, which is skinny. Because
exactly.
And
I think there may be the proverbial, well, you could choose anything you want to be in VR. Why wouldn't you choose to be the typical, muscular or skinny, or why would you want to be overweight?
Right. So that was the one thing that I think really hit me the hardest was when people were saying, why would anybody want their avatar to be fat?
That was representation of self.
Right. Right. Okay. So, if we talk about the vagueness of avatars for just a moment, we say, okay, number one, there's two types of people who exist out there in the VR space. Number one is they want to be an avatar that looks as close to them as possible. And then number two is they want to be a dragon or a cat or Johnny Depp, or they want to be Santa Claus, or they want to, they don't want to be something real or something that accurately represents them.
I think it's more a fact that people want the option. I want to be able to look like myself, but I should be able to morph myself into something else if I want. It's
okay.
VR.
Okay. So Facebook's trying to build to me, this is my interpretation of what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a structure where you have just like they did with the Nintendo Wii, here is an animated, caricaturized version of you. And mine looked like me when I was 6. it didn't look like me as an adult. It looked like me if somebody cut me in half. It didn't accurately represent me. Now the head was close-ish. but the body had nothing to do with me at all. So it didn't.
I would have rather they just had a floating head.
Okay, well then what's wrong with that? Maybe we just do that. We just do the head, but we're being told, and this is, I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but one of the requirements of Facebook Spaces is that you use the Oculus Touch controllers, which means you have hands, which means you got arms, which means you got a body. I mean, you have to have a body. Now, these things don't have legs or feet, but you got a body. I mean, don't you, how hard would it have been for them to do the slider? You know, just make it bigger, make it smaller.
Yeah.
How hard would that have been?
Video games have incorporated that going way back.
Okay. So let's talk about, let's argue against ourselves for just a moment. Let's give the other side an opportunity to have their voice heard. I wrote a follow-up blog post putting out some of the responses to my original one, and some of them were hurtful, attacking, downright mean. A couple of people told me to kill myself, which I thought was interesting. And then there was the people who agreed, or the people who even took it more seriously than I did. Now, one of the best arguments that I heard was, hey, dude, it's a beta. And not every feature can exist in a beta. Do we accept that? Is that an acceptable answer?
No, because that's a base feature.
Is it? I mean, that's
it absolutely should be. If you're going to center a product around being able to build your own avatar and bring that into a virtual space, then that should be a base feature, being able to get your avatar right.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Jeff. Are you familiar with inverse kinematics?
Yes.
Okay. What would happen with your inverse kinematics if your body was three times wider than it is being represented in the space?
Guess it depends on whether or not you built your models to depend on that.
Well,
but it's going to throw it off if you did not, if they didn't base their skeletal systems on that wider system, then yeah, it's going to throw it off. But if they did account, so if they built a slider in and then that slider also adjusts the skeletal system, then it should be fine.
Well, kind of, because what you want to do is you want to have a one-to-one. So here's the best argument against everything I said. Here's the reason why everybody has to be exactly the same, is that when you pick up those touch controllers, and I've got them in my hand right now, and I touch them to each other.
Right.
Where are my elbows? Where are my shoulders? My hands are touching each other. So using inverse kinematics, your elbows have to be somewhere, you know, either they're bent slightly or they're pushed out or however, wherever it is, I'm holding my hands.
Yep.
Then you've got your shoulders. Where do those go? And what happens if the shoulders, because you're fat, you're bigger, your body is bigger, then your shoulders have to go out farther. And then where do your elbows go? And then is there a certain point to which it's not physically possible for the hands to touch?
Yep.
Now you don't have a one-to-one ratio of your actual movements versus what your avatar is doing.
I absolutely agree, which at that point, why are we talking about body? You can easily just have hands and face, or hands and head. That way you don't have to worry about the inverse kinematics until you get it correct.
Well,
or until you're able to build it based on different body types.
Yeah. So there's, that's the best though. That's the best argument against it. So here I am, I'm looking through all of these pictures that people are posting, and I'm talking to a few people. I'm listening to the responses, you know, the reactions to my blog post, and I'm looking through it and I suddenly realize none of the women have breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to try to be as safe and clinical here as I possibly can so as not to offend anybody. But if you are a woman or identify as a woman and your secondary sexual characteristics are not being accurately represented on your avatar, but that's really important to you, suddenly you're not comfortable in your virtual body. And what in the hell do you tell those people? I mean, seriously, what do you tell the people? And you might say, okay, well, there's certain people who don't care about that. Who don't care. They don't want to be objectified. But it's not just about objectification. It's about personal self, being comfortable in your own body and then representing that correctly. Facebook gave everybody, man, woman, other, they all get the same body. Everybody across the board gets the same body. Now, Jeff, do you think that's fair?
Do I think it's fair? No. Now, could we argue that that's a way of leveling the playing field?
Why do we need to level the play? You know what, then? Then nobody's allowed to be black. Hey, nobody's allowed to be brown. Nobody's allowed to be red, yellow, green, or orange. Everybody's skin color has to be a neutral gray. Everybody has gray skin. And while you're at it, Jeff, what color are your eyes?
Blue.
Okay, I have green eyes. So, but neither one of us are allowed to have our colored eyes. Everybody gets black eyes. Just straight black eyes. Oh, and hair? Your hair is significantly darker than mine, Jeff. It's a little bit dark. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because everybody has to be blonde. Everybody has to be blonde to level the playing field. I don't get this. I really don't get this. I wear glasses. I've worn glasses since I was 6 years old. But guess what? None of the avatars are allowed to have glasses. All of a sudden, the avatars...
Wait a minute. I thought there were specifically glasses features for the avatar.
There is. But okay. I'm saying that if we're leveling the playing field, no avatars should ever have glasses. Because that's something you have to program. That's an extra feature you have to program. This is a beta. Everybody should have been like... I've seen other betas, okay?
It is. So should the avatars be allowed to be more muscular?
I don't know, but that's the thing. It doesn't matter because if we're trying to level the playing field, everybody gets a stick figure. There is no differentiation between the avatars. You know, and all respect for Altspace. I have a lot of respect for Altspace and Bruce and the team there. You guys are doing wonderful things. But one of the first complaints that I heard about the first couple versions of Altspace was all the avatars are... like robots, can we customize our avatars? And Altspace is like, nope, you can pick from what we give you. And that's it. You go into VR chat, and so you can do whatever exactly,
that's
you want.
The opposite spectrum. So VR chat, you go in, you can import any single model that you want as long as it's rigged.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So, it is the exact opposite of the spectrum.
And that is the way that VR should be.
Totally agree. I totally agree.
The first thing I did was I rigged a wolf. So I don't know if you remember seeing that, but I rigged it a little bit too small, so it wound up looking like a cat, but you know, it was supposed to be a dire wolf.
Dire wolf, Hello Kitty, whatever it was. It was
exactly
fun. It looked good. It was good. I don't know what I'm not sure if I am done complaining about Facebook Spaces and what they've done with the people, or do I just let it go and wait until the next version comes out?
But at what point would you consider it acceptable? Would you consider it acceptable once they're able to make, you know, different body shapes, or only once you're able to go to the lengths of VR chat where you are able to import literally any model you want?
Now, well, see, that's the thing. Their objective. See, I don't think Facebook has fully met the objective that they were trying to accomplish. Their objective was, hey, everybody can be a cartoon version of themselves. Like I almost feel like that's the exact verbiage that I heard, was that you'd be a cartoon version of yourself. But I'm not currently. I'm a cartoon version of the options that they gave me.
Exactly.
Big difference. Big difference. Should they be able to allow us to upload stuff like that? No. No, I don't think so. That might be a little too much. Plus, it's harder to manage.
So, venturing a little bit away from the body styles, sure. What'd you think of the functionality?
I don't know. It was very limited. I tried to call somebody in from Facebook Messenger, and I never did see their video, but they could see me. Or at least my avatar. I've viewed several 360 photos. That looked pretty good.
It did.
It was kind of hard to find them. I had to go digging to go find them.
It is. It definitely was not intuitive as far as how to get the 360 photos and then put them on yourself.
Right. Well, yeah. In UI for stuff like this, UI in VR is difficult.
It is.
We know that. It's just, and so the whole idea of actually taking your finger and poking a button, you know, as opposed to like a laser pointer. You know what I mean? Like, you actually physically had to touch the button to make things work. Did you stand when you did this?
I did.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to stand. I want to sit. And so I had to go find out, like, how do I change the size? How do I move the table? How do I get it into a position where I could sit and enjoy myself doing this? I finally figured it out. So there's definitely a learning curve to this.
Absolutely.
But there's a learning curve to VR in general, so I can't knock.
There is, but for people that have been around VR for years now, there should be a certain level of intuitiveness out of a UI that you're able to go, okay, I should be able to just go here and do this.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's been any standards yet. I mean, have you seen two games that have the same UI yet?
No.
Yeah. See, neither have I. I mean, that's the UI is still
kind of the only thing that I've seen frequently lately is the Blink system, or at least the teleport system.
Right. Whatever you want to call it. Cloud Step, Blink, Transport, Teleport, you know, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of the kind of person that wants to just be able to move my thumbstick around and make my person move.
Same here. And that's because I've never been VR sick. I could run full out in just about anything, and it's never affected me. So I would like that option to be able to move around freely inside of the different worlds.
Yeah. Now, where do we leave this? Like, I want this to be a closed conversation so I don't have to keep coming back to this.
Sure. So, I'll close it. Facebook, fix it. It really shouldn't be that hard. You should be able to adapt different body styles. The end.
All right. So before we actually use that as a close, what about people who are amputees? What about people who don't have both eyes? What about people who have physical deformities? What about people who are hunchbacks? Or
once again, then we get into the VR chat situation. Do we need to be able to import any different model? What is, here, let's take it this way. Is there such thing as reasonable accommodation? So just like we have reasonable accommodation in the real world for handicap, should there be VR reasonable accommodation?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
That's exactly what we're talking about here is, you know, what defines what should be available in VR.
Well, what if they use that same excuse of reasonable to say, yeah, you know what? We don't need you to be able to change the size of your body because that's an unreasonable request.
Well, and that's where the definitions come in.
Okay. Well, and do we want Facebook? I mean, yeah, they own Oculus. That's fine. Do we want Facebook dictating those types of standards, what's reasonable and what's not? Do we want Facebook to be in charge of that? There's a lot of people out there who are really upset. I saw, I'm going to do a shout out to Matt, AKA Holotape from the Left-Handed VR podcast. He said, oh no, here it is. Just like I predicted, take off your headset and log into Facebook. It's like, no,
you know what? They're not forcing anybody to use Facebook Spaces, just like they're not forcing anybody to use Facebook on the computer.
This is true. This is a true statement.
You don't want to use Facebook Spaces? Don't.
Right. They're not forcing you. But, you know, then again, people don't force you to put gas in your car. And people don't force you to go to the grocery store. People don't.
There's a lot of people that choose not to have a car.
I know, but it's an exception, not the rule.
True.
And so we get back to reasonable again.
But
how do we accommodate as many
people? I find it to be the exception that somebody doesn't have a Facebook account, that's probably the exception at this point.
It kind of is. You know, But there are people, I know very intelligent and very well-educated people who are stable members of viable workforces and have social lives and everything, and they do not have Facebook pages. My 90-year-old grandmother, however, no problem, has Facebook and uses it very irresponsibly. So I don't know.
Damn it, Jimmy.
What are you doing there, boy? I don't know what to say. I mean, really, I didn't want to make a big ruckus out of this, but I kind of did because I felt like, okay, I'm a developer. Well,
it brings up important questions.
It does, but it also speaks to the fact that they announced this at Oculus Connect last year.
Right.
Okay. It's been 6 months plus since they first showed it off to us. And I thought, wow, it looked really good then. What were they waiting for? Because what they released looks inferior to what they showed at Connect.
It does.
So I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing here. I mean, and all the people who said, dude, it's a beta, calm down. Fine. Okay, that's fine. You know, where's the future features? Where's the release notes? Where's the, you know, give us a timeline. Give us a scope of things you're going to take care of. But I don't believe that this was just a, oh, well, we didn't have time to put it in.
No.
I don't believe that. I believe it was a conscious decision to not let people have a different body, that everybody gets the same body. You're all a bunch of bobbleheads.
Well, they've been working on Facebook Spaces since before CV1 came out. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, yeah.
They have to have a well-defined roadmap at this point. So at some point, you have to make a decision on go, no go for when you're going to release a product.
Well, so I agree. Yeah.
You know, you look at it and you go, okay, these are the features that we have. Do we release this to the public?
No, we don't release it because we can't let Kyle be fat. that's the problem. We can't let Kyle be fat because, and so as a result, we can't release this during our huge once a year conference where we release all of our fun stuff. But because Kyle wants to be fat and we don't have that feature built in yet, we can't release this. I know that sounds absurd. I know it does. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who are like, dude, you're just condoning being fat. Why don't you just lose some weight? I'm like, sure. Okay. And all those women who want to have their breasts be available, or maybe, you know, dude's only got one arm, or, you know, maybe, hey. You know, yeah, you guys, you know,
what if I had a glass eye? Should I be able to take out my eye?
I don't know. That's so true though. I mean, the level of customization has to stop at a certain point, and I just felt like they stopped one step behind where they should have. Well,
it does have to stop at a certain point, but there should be basic features that are implemented before.
I mean, yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, if that body is like a 4, just let me slide it up to 8. You know, that's all I wanted. Just a little bit more diameter.
Right. I don't need to be able to choose chartreuse eyes, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
As opposed to being able to do that, give me a different body shape.
Right. Exactly. And again, I totally accept the fact that there's probably some technical issue that is preventing them from being able to do it the way they want to. But I do have, on good authority, a little birdie told me that Facebook is aware of my concern and that they have been reaching out to the community for feedback, and they have been receiving copious amounts of feedback.
Nice.
In regards to the things that I have been saying. And so I would be very excited to hear that sometime down the road, Facebook addresses this issue. I do want to point out one thing though. This is not a social justice issue. I mean, I guess to some people it is.
It's not. And I'm not offended in the very least by not being able to choose myself as fat.
Absolutely. It's not a matter of offense. It's not a matter of social justice. I'm not being persecuted.
Are there some people that are offended that severely? Yeah, I'm sure there are.
There are. I've spoken to them in the last 48 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have. I've spoken to several people who are highly offended at the fact. I'm not offended, but I do see it as being a problem that should be easily solved. And that's all I'm asking for. Just a slider bar, man. Just let me be who I am. That's it. That's all I want. You know, I bet there's somebody else that might have an interesting perspective on this. What do you think Palmer Luckey would say about this?
You know, first of all, welcome back, Palmer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I have a feeling that he's been under kind of a crunch for the past year where he may not have been able to speak out as much as he would have liked. But hopefully now that he's withdrawn from Facebook, he's back in the community, which, you know, we saw his return in the past 24 hours. Hopefully he can be just as much of a figure as he has been in the past.
Yeah, I have an interesting perspective on it. When I first saw, he had changed his avatar on social media.
He over to the old Obi-Wan.
Right.
Know? Strike me down and I shall come back stronger.
That's right. More powerful than you could possibly imagine. I loved it because how many people actually got that reference? A lot.
Not too many.
Well, I don't know. There's a decent number of people. It depends on which piece of social media you're on. But I was excited because, you know, for me, you know, we made fun of, you know, him leaving Facebook during the quadcast, and that was all in good fun. And I know he understands that. I know that. But the dude's got to have a million things to say. I mean, he has got to have a large amount of just venting that he wants to do.
I'm sure.
I mean, if I was him, I would go, okay, lawyers, what am I and am I not allowed to talk about? Because I'm about to go hog wild and spill the beans.
See, I don't know. If I were him, I don't know if I would necessarily talk about anything Facebook related, but, you know.
Well, okay, here's the way I look at it. And again, just my opinion, than nobody else's. I am, for whatever reason, no longer with the company that bought my company. I'm gone. Did they make me sign a non-compete or a shut your mouth or
Palmer, feel free to correct me, but I really have a feeling that when his company was bought, they said, we're going to keep the founder on for so many years as part of the purchase agreement. And then after that point, we either have the option to renew or keep him on or let him go.
Now,
once the whole debacle hit, I think they said, just be quiet for the rest of the contract. And after that.
I have a different spin on it. I have a different perspective. I think they used the fact that there was a contract coming up or that they did it on the anniversary. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there was some sort of vesting in the stock. Normally when you get bought by another company, they pay some in money, some in stock. And so that stock was probably vested. And so he can actually sell it off now if he wants or whatever. I don't know. But what I do know is that it's very obvious that he's no longer with Facebook Oculus because of the political shenanigans. And he came out and he spoke his mind and it bit him in the ass. Well, guess what? He's been bit. He got spanked and now he's out on his own. What's going to stop him from being as vocal as he possibly can now?
Hope absolutely nothing.
Right. Nobody's there to spank him. Nobody's there to tell him, nuh-uh, except for obviously the lawyers and, you know, all that kind of nonsense. But I would, if I was him, I would push the envelope. I would get right back in and be that snarky, you know, headstrong little punk, you know, that got everything started again. And I would be right there, man. I would totally be on board. And I'll tell you what, I'd be the first person to jump on ship with Palmer. If he wanted to start up, I'm going to start up a new VR headset company with hookers and blackjack. I would be there to deal the cards for him.
Exactly. You know, welcome back to the scene.
Absolutely.
Right. He's been part of the community since the very beginning, you know? And it's part of that community was Palmer being ingrained in Reddit or any other media, back in SVVR and Oculus Connect 1.
Well, and his story is, it could have been any of us. I mean, he talk about right place, right time, right head, you know, head space and right, you know, how many of us spend dozens of hours a day in forums and talking and doing the what if game and gee, if I only had this or gee, if I only could do that. He did it. And he made it happen, and what a roller coaster ride it's been. But now it's over, and he has to decide: do I get back on, or do I go to a different ride, or what do I do? But we know he loves roller coasters, so
yeah,
you know, he's not going. And obviously, roller coaster is a metaphor for VR, in case you know somebody didn't get that.
With VR being as ingrained in his personality as it has been, I can't imagine him hiding from. Any of the venues.
Yeah. Well,
And I hope he comes forward and, you know, starts being more active.
I have a feeling that we will get an opportunity to hear more from him in the future. That's what I'm hoping for. It's just more.
So open invite, Palmer, come talk.
That's right. That's right. Come talk to us. Let us know what, you know, push the limit. If you need a venue, you know where to come. Come talk to us and push that limit, and speak your mind. Use us as a portal into the minds of the VR community, and we'll give you a chance to, you know, throw it out there, throw down the gauntlet. So, man, Jeff, did we put to bed the whole Facebook fat thing? We got Palmer back. Anything else going on, man? I mean, have you?
Well, there's been tons going on this week. I don't know if we have time to really touch on all of it, but you know, we've got Google Earth coming to Oculus Home. We've got Rick and Morty being launched.
Yeah. Did you try either of those experiences yet?
I did. I tried all of them.
Okay. All right. Both of them, at least. You know what we should do is we should hold on to those things and talk about them in the next episode.
Absolutely.
So in the next episode, I'll have Jeff back and we'll talk about, I don't know. We'll talk about Rick and Morty because I tried it too. And in Google Earth, I tried it as well. And then we'll talk about some other things. And, you know, let us know what kind of, you know, format that you guys like. So this is kind of a different format for us. Jeff and I just kind of yakking, speaking our mind, talking to each other. We didn't have a specific topic. Really, we just talked about whatever was current. So if you're fans of the kind of newsy type of podcast as opposed to an interview format, this is kind of what that is. So we're going to try to play around with this a little bit. We're going to have Jeff on, you know, kind of co-host sort of status, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I still want to do the interviews. I still want to have some interviews come in, and we'll still do that traditional format as well. But, you know, give us some feedback, as the left-handed VR podcast say. Give us some user feedback. You know, obvious places to go and talk to us. RevVRStudios.com. Go check that out for all the latest podcasts and blogs. Find me on Twitter at ReverendKJR. Find Jeff on Twitter at RedusJ, R-E-D-U-S-J. Facebook, ReverendKJR. There's this little weird website called Patreon where you can pay if you'd like this type of quality programming to continue, we need your support. And so all it takes, you know, for just $1 a day, you can feed an overweight avatar in Facebook. Is that going too far, Jeff?
Hey.
For just $1 a day, you can put an extra Snickers bar on the plate of a hungry avatar in Facebook Spaces.
Wait, where's Sally Struthers?
Yes. Feed the kids. Feed the overweight avatars. All right, cool. So, Jeff, man, this was a good first run here.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and hopefully our audience enjoyed it, and we'll you know, we'll slap some music on this and we'll release this puppy, and then look forward to more podcasts with you involved, Jeff.
Sounds good. Awesome. Take it easy, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you all very much for listening. This podcast is a production of RevVR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.